Beyonce got her butt done.
She very well might have.
Because J-Lo's had kids, and her butt doesn't look weird. And I feel like Beyonce's butt looks a little strange.
Weird.
In Black is King.
It looks disproportionate. It looks like all them Atlanta bitches. Like, all them Atlanta bitches had their asses done.
All pumped up.
They want to act like they didn't. But fucking, even, what's her name? Kay Michelle. She tried to have it removed, but she had those injections, that shit that was, just that, like,
cement.
Silicone. Yeah, that silicone that they used for, construction. And it migrated and started fucking up her body.
That's messed up.
So they were like, we're going to get out as much as we can, but we can't get it all.
Yeah. I mean, I love Beyonce, but I'm looking at your booty, girl, and it don't look right to me. I was like, there's a lot of waist training going on, I'm sure, but the booty looked weird.
I don't know what.
So, dude, how was your week?
It was semi-productive.
Okay. I see you made it back on Facebook. Sup, dog?
Yeah, I go on there, like, at night when I'm just like...
There's nothing else to do.
And this fucking dude, there's, of course, these Ion Roseman people that are just fucking stupid.
I've blocked that group from my visibility.
There was a posting of another Black man getting shot by the police. This time, this man was wielding a bat.
Mm.
And I'm like, so, has anybody ever heard of, like, shooting somebody in the shoulder or the hip or the knee? Like, why are you shooting this man to kill him? He has a bat. Yeah. You shoot him in the fucking shoulder, he will drop that bat. He can't swing a bat.
Yeah.
A shoulder wound. For real. And this asshole fucking white nationalist, more than likely guy, was like, well, if he hit somebody with that bat, they could die. I'm like, if he's wounded in the shoulder, he ain't gonna hit nobody with a bat because he's gonna fucking drop it. You can't swing a bat if you have your shoulders fucked up. What are you talking about, wound, idiots? And I was just like... See, it's people like you that make me, like, literally, like, I'm glad that I have control over my physical body, because sometimes I feel like I could just leave my body and, like, just fucking just go off. And nobody wants that.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
Like, there are times, like, I could literally leave my body and... Whatever happens after that, it's not my fault.
You turn into Red Ross.
I will fuck your shit up and then, you know.
Hop back in your body. Not having know what happened, right?
Exactly. I'm sorry. That was not me. That was that other bitch that fucking.
That wasn't me.
That was the demon. That was the demon. So.
But you were productive. How were you productive?
So I'm supposed to. I signed up, of course. There was, you know, they put fucking jobs on this on ProBlogger. So I had answered. Actually, this wasn't even on ProBlogger, but I had answered this ad for writers with medical expertise or whatever. Mm. And so I, you know, submitted my writing samples and whatnot, and. The person doing the hiring, you know, contacted me back. I sent all my info, my W-9 and all that shit. So hopefully this week I will be getting a client. She said, they're going to start me out with one client and then work up to like 4 or 5 clients, which would be fantastic. So I'm just waiting for her to fucking be like, hey, okay, you're going to work with this business or whatever the fuck. I had to have an EIN number, and I have one. That I got when I started doing the Wine Decadence thing. And so I was like, I was trying to apply for another one just for my writing, and I couldn't because apparently there's like a bunch of people that have Wine Decadence EINs. So I was like, okay, well, let me just use this one. And so.
What do you need an EIN number for?
Because now in California, there's a thing that we're. If you are considered an employee, you have to do a W-2. Mm-hmm. If you're a contractor, you have to have your own EIN.
What?
Because an EIN means that you can hire employees.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know how Uber and Lyft, they're trying to fight this thing where their drivers are, they're categorizing their drivers as contractors.
Right.
So they don't have to provide insurance.
Correct.
Well, the state's like, fuck you guys, they're your employees. Mm-hmm. So you're going to pay for their fucking benefits.
Okay.
And so they're trying to fight it. And so to get around that, you have to have an EIN. That means that you're an employer yourself. So you're not employed by this company.
That's stupid.
But that's how it works. So if you're a contractor for a company, you have to have an EIN. An employee identification number.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that you can hire people to work under you. And then, of course, you... If you... The problem with Lyft, Uber, all that stuff is that they have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of employees.
Mm-hmm.
A business that only has, I think, 50 employees doesn't have to pay for benefits. That's where they fucked up. Or maybe it's 20, but it's a low number. And yeah. So they don't have to pay for benefits. But again, you know, you're fucking hiring people all over the country and you don't want to, you know, they need benefits. Oh, yeah, they're contractors. Fine. How are they, you know, if they can't work, they're not getting paid. They're not getting health insurance. Right. So...
WTF, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but...
well, yeah, that's how these companies, like, this company is hiring me as a contractor
mm-hmm.
instead of as an employee, so...
So they don't have
they're like, benefits. Yeah, because there's a the state requires it. Like, if you're going to say they're a contractor, they have to have an EIN.
That's just inconvenient for you. Like, do you have to pay for this number?
You just go online, put in your information, and it'll get it immediately.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
But if you're making money on it instead of your, because they used to be able to just use your social security number.
Exactly.
But this is like, okay, well, we use your social for your W-2 if you're an employee. But in California, the state's like, no, you're not going to abuse your contractors. So if you want to be you want to have contractors working for you and you've got thousands and thousands and thousands of these contractors,
uh-huh.
they need to have an EIN.
Got it. Okay.
And that basically lets the employer get off of that. But I can see where Lyft and Uber are like, we don't want to make our employees do that because a lot of them probably won't. But again, they're not making a whole lot of money either. They're,
right.
You know, they're driving for hours and hours a day and they're not bringing home thousands and thousands of dollars.
Not a day, that's for sure.
But anyway, how was your week?
I run New York. I watched Hustlers.
As did I.
I got a job. So, I myself personally like to take a week or two between a job, between accepting it and starting. But not this one. I actually have to start work tomorrow. Or yesterday in the podcast world. Wish me luck. So I had to go to, you know, Agora Hills. And on my way back, I stopped by and saw Mario.
Mm-hmm.
So he spilled the tea for me. You know, I had to catch up on my gossip. And it was just nice to see him. And he's like, I'm home all alone all day. Because he works from home and, like, you know, so.
What about doesn't he have a companion?
Yeah, his boo-boo works for a Swedish furniture store. And they're all...
A build-it-yourself furniture store?
Yes, exactly.
That serves Swedish meatballs?
Yes, them. He's always at work, and he has his own place. So, you know, he's not there all the time. So, Mario was just like, I'm here by myself. So, that was good. And, I don't know, just living the Vida Loca, harvesting okra.
Are you rhyming now?
I really want to get these sunflower seeds out of the biggest...
I saw that one over there. It's enormous. It's I was huge. Like, damn, that's a big old head.
It's like... Get these seeds out of me before the birds come and get them, because the birds will come in and fuck them up the second they realize they're ready, because they're about ready, because you got to brush all that white stuff off and then the seeds are under it and you got to pick them out. The birds, the first sunflower that came in, the birds were like, okay, dinner time, and they fucked it up in a day.
I saw that.
It was gone. So I need to harvest some sunflower seeds pretty soon. I need to figure out what my schedule is going to look like working from home. All you other people have been working from home. I haven't in, like, a corporate type, you know, fashion or whatever.
Are you required to be on for 8 hours?
I'm the sales manager, so we'll see what my schedule is going to, like, entail and look like and stuff. I'm sure I need to be available. I need to put in work and effort and show that I've been productive. So we'll see, you know, what kind of tools we're using to gauge all that and what my activity needs to be and what kind of goals I'm trying to hit.
Gosh, okay.
These are all the things that go through my head. But other than that, it was a good week. we survived it. All these fucking fires are going on right now in California.
Over here. Oh my God. And there was lightning in the Bay Area.
Girl, Jesus is like, oh, you thought it was over? Fire! Fingers!
There's gonna be fucking, the flu season is coming up.
Earthquakes are coming. I was feeling a little sniffly, like Brent's nose was running last week. And mine was running too, but I feel fine. So we'll see what happens.
It could be just like, because this, the fires aren't good for any, like, allergy. If you have allergy, sinus issues, whatever, the fires aren't good for that. And we've managed to get smoke from every fucking angle.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah, we're fucked.
So it's like, why? We have, like, literally there's, like, a triangle of fires burning around us. And if it's not coming from that direction, it's coming from that direction, or it's coming from that direction.
Yeah. So it sucks. And then it's been so freaking hot. 110.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's so nasty, y'all. So pray for us.
Pray for the desert.
Pray for the desert. We're accustomed to it. It's fine. We're in an air-conditioned room, so we're good. Let's get into it. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is...
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
It's Bolt Bitches.
It's Bolt Bitches.
Let me text this girl and tell her that we want to say It's Bolt Bitches on the shirt.
It's Bolt Bitches.
I hope you guys like it. We're making some swag, okay? Welcome to the podcast, y'all. Welcome back. Welcome back. And
welcome back.
And if you're a new listener, welcome to the show. Hey, everybody else, what's up? New day, new fraud, new week, new con. Maybe I do want to rhyme today. I feel like Andre the Giant and the Princess Bride.
Anybody want a peanut?
Oh, yeah, she looks like a whore.
Wow, dude.
And that's slut shaming. I was watching Shameless last night, and it's...
Which episode? Or season?
Season 8, I think, when, I don't want to call her Franny. What's her name?
Oh, Franny's the baby.
Right. Deb. So when Deb is, like, in welding school, and she's fucking around with that hairstylist guy, the guy who's the blonde, and, like, she wakes up next to him naked, and she's like, oh, shit, you know, did we? And he was like, no. And then he was like, oh, yeah, by the way, we did it last night, too. So she's like, fuck, no, I really got to get to the pharmacy.
Go to get the fucking morning
after
pill.
And she thinks she's pregnant. She takes the test, like, 4 times, and she's like, the slut candy didn't work. She was talking in lip. He was like, I'll just take you to Planned Parenthood. Calm down.
The slut candy.
The slut candy, that's what she was called, the morning after pill. I'm not slut shaming. I just think it's funny. I mean, back in the day, I used to be a little whore myself.
Hold on.
Who cares?
First of all, well, I have a friend who took the morning after pill and had a baby who is now 20, so... Is she 19 or 20? She's 20. She has a 20-year-old now, so...
Her slut candy didn't work.
Slut candy didn't work. But again, they get engaged in intercourse more than once before she took the pill.
I bet.
Deb, on Shameless, got pregnant on purpose. And then, like, somehow lost her brain and was like, okay, so I'm just not going to use condoms ever again. Like, use condoms, girl.
Well, first, I'm not making any excuses for her. And on that episode, I guess she had been drunk or whatever, didn't sleep with the paralyzed guy at all. She just slept with this guy. And
that guy is, what was he on? I love him. He was a hacker on another movie. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the dude from Shameless.
Yeah.
What movie was it? Whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
Big deal. I'm not making excuses for not using protection at a young age, but I just know that shit happens.
No, shit does happen on the reg, but if you know you're going to be banging dudes, you should have a supply of condoms in your bag, in your purse, in your pocket, whatever the case.
IUD, baby.
Or that.
But you can't be having casual sex with people and not using protection, because that's how you get the clap.
That's how you get the HIV.
That's how you get the everything. I was watching Girls Trip too, and Tiffany Haddish, she was like,
I'm gonna get pregnant tonight.
I'm a clap on that clap. I've had that clap. I'm immune to it. And she's like, you nasty bitch.
Yeah.
I was watching a lot of stuff.
Apparently.
I was trying to enjoy my time off.
Okay, you have to, because you're gonna be a slave to the clock after this.
I really will. I really will. I don't know what we were talking about, but listeners, hi, how are you guys doing? Check us out on social. Connect with us on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Facebook, Instagram, Book of Lies Podcast. We have a group on Facebook. If you want to join it, feel free. You can visit our website at bookofliespodcast.com, where you can listen to all of our previous episodes. You can check out our blog. You can check out our swag, and you could learn a little bit more about us if you want to. And you can also meet us on Patreon. The champagne room is open.
There is no sex in the champagne room.
Burp, 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 burp. But what we are offering you guys is a visual episode once a month. One episode a month, visual. So you'll see all this candy that's going on in here. You ain't going to see it now. Join the champagne room.
Does that mean that I have to, like, get done up to do episodes?
When we do one, it'll be one episode. I'll tell you which one it'll be so you can be ready. And we're going to be popping for
you. I have to comb my hair.
Put your wig on, girl. You'll be fine. Mm. I might get myself one, too. Maybe we'll wear different color wigs. Like the Flossy Posse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, so thanks for listening. We love you guys. Brandy, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are going to talk about The Hustlers at Scores, a.k.a. Hustlers the Movie, a.k.a. the story behind Hustlers the Movie. Because this happened, and it was some real women behind the fucking fuckery. And I found this, the movie, the fictionalized version, I found it entertaining. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this one because it's fun. And I don't want to be all depressed and shit talking about somebody losing their fucking house or whatever.
True,
or their fucking life savings or their fucking pension because some fucking greedy dickhole, even though these women did get greedy, but some fucking greedy dickhole didn't give a shit about humanity. So that's what we're talking about today.
Nobody likes a greedy dickhole.
Just saying. So we will be talking about Rosalind Keough and Samantha Barbash, the women of the real women behind the Hustlers movie, because their names were fictionalized for the movie.
So what was the first one's name?
Rosalind Keough was played by Constance Wu.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what her name was in the movie because I didn't write that down, because that's not
her name was Dorothy.
Was it Dorothy?
But she went by Destiny.
Oh, that's right, Destiny. Okay. And then, what was Jennifer Lopez's name? Anyway.
Ramona. Her name was Ramona.
Yeah, Ramona. Okay. So, Rosalind Keough was born in 1984 to Cambodian refugees who came to this country for, of course, the American fucking dream.
Yeah.
She said that they came hoping for a better life and they got caught up with the, you know, material crap and the nice cars and the nightlife, she said. And just somewhere went wrong. And apparently, that's when she was being raised by her grandparents. So it wasn't just her grandma. It was both of her grandparents that were in her life. So, you know, in the movie, they were like, it was just her grandma. She wanted to be able to pay her grandma's bills, whatever.
Yeah, wanted to pay off her house or something.
So Rosie, as she likes to be called, got involved with the wrong crowds. She was, like, you know, hanging out with bad people, gangsters, what have you, and she ended up dropping out of high school. And she started working at a diner when she was 17. And that's where she met the manager of a club called Lace.
Ooh.
In the New York area. And he tipped her $20 on a $20 tip, on a $20 bill. So basically gave her a 100% tip.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, looking her up and down, was like, call me when you want to make some real money. Because apparently this girl had curves. Like, I love Constance Wu, but Constance Wu's a stick.
Yeah, she is. She ain't got it.
But Rosie basically had, they call it a bombshell body, like in the 50s and whatever. Like, they were like, that's the kind of body that can get a girl in trouble. So she, you know, had curves and...
Let's just call her Jessica Rabbit.
That's what, in the article, that's what it said. Oh, by the way, the article is that I sourced this is the Hustlers at Scores by Jessica Pressler in New York Magazine. Yeah, that's what they said. She had Jessica Rabbit curves.
Okay.
And she's a little petite, you know, Cambodian girl.
Mm-hmm.
So,
ass.
Stop. So, the manager was like, if you want to make some real money, come over, you know, to the club. She did. She said she saw the documentary G-String Divas and, you know, on HBO. You don't remember that show?
I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever, like, watched it.
I watched it because I was like, shit, I should become a stripper. Like, they had wads and wads of cash, and they weren't just ones, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they were pulling wads and wads of cash out of their G-strings, out of their shoes, out of their bras. I was like, damn, I had a baby at the time. Well, he wasn't a baby. He was like 10. I was like, I should be a stripper. Like, I could shake my ass. But I never did. So,
here
now,
we are.
Now I'm a poor person. And, yeah. So.
Join us on Patreon.
So, they were like, she was like, yeah, I could do that. So she goes to the club and she starts to work for the tip. And at some point she leaves fucking, whatever the hell I said this name, the name of this club was, what was it?
Lace.
Yeah, she leaves Lace and she goes to Scores.
So she starts off at Lace.
Uh-huh. It doesn't give you like a chronology of which clubs she worked at, but she worked at multiple clubs.
Okay.
She goes to Scores. That's where she meets Samantha Barbash, who goes by the stage name Samantha Fox. That was played by the Jennifer Lopez character, Ramona. I like how though on at the movie, she's just looking at her like, wow.
And you're so pretty.
And she steps off the stage, she's like, doesn't money just make you horny? I'm like, shit. Can I have some of that? Can I have some of them tips? Those were but there was a lot of ones involved in what she was bringing off the stage. I was like, where are the 20s?
That's the champagne room.
Where are the 20s?
Champagne room.
I mean, there was lots of ones, though. There was a whole bunch of them. There was at least $200 in ones. I would have liked to see some 20s. Maybe even some 50s going on over there. But whatever. By the way, in the article, like in the movie, she's like, Usher even came in and we danced. But that wasn't, that was never mentioned in the fucking.
They just wanted to play that song and let Usher
in. I wanna make love in this club.
What's your name?
Like, I don't like that fucking movie.
Oh, sure, baby.
I mean, that song. Samantha takes Rosie under her wing and shows her, you know, how to make money. Because Samantha was, like, in her 30s already at this time. Mm-hmm. This was in 2007.
Oh, damn.
When they meet.
Okay.
And she's in her 30s. And that's, you know, by stripper standards, that shit is old.
Brandy, do you remember when we took Chris to the strip club?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that was Russian. That old-ass woman? Russian lady. She's Russian. I told you, my friend worked at that club.
No, but she would just, like, pop them legs open and make eye contact with you and just, like, say,
look at my vagina.
Yeah.
Because that was a nude club. It was a nude club.
It was all nude. It was just,
yeah,
like,
they didn't serve alcohol.
They did not serve alcohol.
So that was a thing. I don't know if the rules are the same in New York where you can't serve alcohol in all nude clubs, but in California, all nude clubs cannot serve alcohol. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting naked, there can't be booze. Bikini clubs can serve alcohol. Mm-hmm. That lady, she was Russian. She was a Russian lady with gray. She fucking was the Bride of Frankenstein. She had those like gray side, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. She probably still works there. Anyway.
It was like 15 years ago.
She probably still works there. Anyway. So, Samantha Barbash takes her under her wing and she teaches her how to start making real money because, like, the girls that work together make the most money.
Right.
So, if you're at a club and you're working solo, you know, I guess there's more of a draw for, like, the fantasy of two women or more. So, like, at certain clubs, like Scores, they work in groups, whereas these other clubs, they just work solo. Mm-hmm. She said that the guys that they would, you know, meet in these clubs were usually assholes. They were dudes, you know, that had money. They were the Wall Street types that were making millions of dollars a day or whatever. And they would come in and she said they might not have started out as assholes, but they would end up like that at the end of the night when they were all fucked up and drunk. And they would say things like, did your father abuse you? Is that why you do this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the girls, even the ones that weren't abused, would be, like, put off. And they'd be like, you know, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. So, They would come and spend thousands of dollars, though, so they tolerated that shit, of course. You're spending thousands of dollars on me. I'm about to make some money. I will put up with your bullshit.
Yeah.
I guess. And there was one guy who would come in, and he would spend, like, in 1 week, he spent 300 grand.
So Jesus! Jesus!
He came in three times that week and spent 100 grand each night. And every girl went home with 10 grand that night.
Sugar daddy?
Can I just take 10 grand home in one night? I would
sugar
like,
daddy.
That would be like perfect for me. I would do it. That would be like amateur night. I'll go in on amateur night. I mean, of course, it wasn't probably on amateur night if they had one. But I'm just saying, like, can you spend 10 grand on me?
That's a lot of money.
You spend 100 grand up in this motherfucker.
That's a lot of fucking money.
What the hell?
What are you selling?
I think that was the Usher character.
Okay.
Rosie, you know, was like, okay, this is good and well and whatnot, but I am not trying to be a long-term stripper. Like, she, you know, she had an on-again, off-again boyfriend. And as, you know, as you get deeper entrenched in the stripper world, you start to get disillusioned and you start not to trust men. So her and her boyfriend always fight. She'll, like, come home and pick fights with him, accuse him of cheating on her. Accuse him of banging other chicks because these dudes that were coming in the club were married. They were, you know, dissatisfied with their lives or whatever that have you. And she would project her fucking pissed offness on him. So they were on again, off again for like years and years and years.
Her baby daddy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The guy that ended up getting her pregnant. They got engaged and then, of course, that fell through. But she had started going back to school to study psychology. And while a lot of the women were like, oh yeah, I'm going to school, they weren't, but she actually was. And there was a guy there that was actually like there. He like liked the idea that like she would be studying, sitting at the bar studying, and he would come up to her and they would like have a conversation.
The one that bought her a laptop in the movie?
Yeah. Did he buy her that laptop or did he give her money and she bought a laptop?
Ain't that the same thing?
Maybe. Well, in the movie, yeah, they show this scenario play out, but they talk about it in the article where he was like really interested in her and like she strung him along, she strung him along to the point where he thought that they were actually going to be together. Mm-hmm. And he had a woman who was from Kazakhstan who was here on a visa. I don't know if it was the fiance visa, but she was here on a visa. He let the visa expired. She went back to Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. He like let her go back. Because he thought that they were going to be together. And then she just disappeared. And then the girl came back from Kazakhstan. When Rosie reaches back out to him after her engagement falls through. She's got a baby.
Oh, in the movie?
It happened in real life.
Oh, what's her real name? Was it Rosalind or something?
No. That's Rosalind's name is Rosalind. Okay. Rosalind is Rosie.
Got it.
Who is Destiny. Yeah. But no, in the movie it shows like she calls him a few years later and she's like, hey, you know, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, you need to take care of that baby. And she's like, that's my friend's baby. That actually happened. that actually happened.
That's not mine.
She was like, hey, I'm in Arizona. I need to move back. Can you get me a moving truck? That's what she was like calling him for. I need help with getting a moving truck. But she was actually in New York the whole time. She just told him that she was in Arizona.
I could tell.
But, yeah, so, you know, so there were guys that were like, I love you. There were guys, you know, that would come in to just talk. But then there were the other guys, the Wall Street guys that came in to spend money and, you know, thought they were going to get something in return. Like, you know, some physical action. They were groping the girls and all that other stuff, sexually harassing them and whatever. And so those were the ones that they targeted. They weren't targeting the long-term guys, but the long-term guys were the ones that they could get money from on the rig. So she, again, her plan was not to be a long-term stripper, Rosie. She was going to school and she was studying psychology. And she said the Wall Street guys and the strippers were alike in that they both hated their jobs. Mm-hmm. Like the strippers, the Wall Street guys hated their jobs. So they would go to the club to blow off steam. They would spend all their money on booze and drugs and women, and then the money would be gone. They would have to go back to work the next day.
I wonder if the strip clubs are open now during COVID time.
Probably not. And the girls hated their jobs because they were fucking subjecting themselves to assholes who thought they had the right to do whatever and say whatever they could. They
more
wanted.
Like dicks.
And they would blow all their money on shopping and vacations, and then all their money would be gone. They would have to go back to the fucking club.
Yeah, because they're buying these fucking bags and these furs. And I'm like, that's like easily like $7,000. Like, how are you?
They have it. They just, they blow their, you get that money. If you get that much money in one night, you can blow it all and then get, you know, you can go back and get the same amount of money.
I guess so.
You know what I mean? And on a good night, if you're getting 10 grand from one dude, imagine how much more you're getting from the other guys at the same time or in the same night. So you're getting...
You are, but invest in yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what she was doing. She was getting an education.
Good.
So it was a cycle. You know, you have to go back to work the next day. The Wall Street guys had to go back to work. The dancer girls had to go back to work. But again, she eventually left. She got pregnant. She got engaged. And the relationship would bust, so she went back to dancing in 2011. But this time she was working at Hustler.
Oh, okay. So she really was working at Hustler.
Uh-huh. So the market crashed in 2008, messed fucking shit up for... It messed shit up for everybody, but it messed it up for the fucking... the strip clubs. All the girls, when she went back, were new. And they were these Russian girls and these Colombian girls... who were willing to put their mouth on your dick for $300. So, you know, they're giving $300 blowjobs, and she said, and they were good looking. Like, they weren't even the ugly bitches doing blowjobs. They were the cute ones.
Well, if we've learned anything from Shameless, they're going to get their money. The Russians are going to get their money.
Well, she was like, I can't compete with this shit. So.
Because it is a competition, too.
It is. Being, again, I don't know how it works at Hustler, but if you're not working in groups, and I think they actually, at Hustler, the girls do work in groups, but when you're in the champagne room.
I used to know a girl who worked at Hustler in San Francisco.
The girls, like the guy, you know, like they sent her out, they were like, oh, we're just not feeling you, so that she left the champagne room. They can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not feeling like you're going to blow me, you need to leave. That type of shit. Mm-hmm.
You blow me.
Well then, so once she had, one night at Scores, she saw, you know who, Samantha, and she realized that she wasn't dancing anymore.
Mm.
So she would come to the clubs every night, but she wasn't on the stage. She would bring in dudes and they would go to champagne rooms or, you know, private rooms. And, you know, they would be doing, they would do something back there, right? So she said she had, she was at the clubs every night running a crew of dark-haired minions who would pick up men and bring them into the clubs. And she called it marketing, Samantha. It's what other people would call fishing, basically. They, most people who do this, you know, aren't going to be successful at it, but at the time... And by being who she was, you know, people already knew her from the club. So she was, it worked for her. She was bringing in money. And so she watched them go in the champagne room. Bitches was wearing red bottoms. And she was like, fuck, what they doing? I want to know.
You got them expensive shoes on.
She was like, y'all making a lot of money and y'all ain't doing nothing. What's happening?
Oh, yeah, there's something going on. Spill right. The tea. Mm-hmm. Spill the tea, honey. Spill it.
Uh-huh. So she said, Samantha had found some kind of loophole where I can get paid and not actually have to have sex.
She was having sex with people?
The bitches in the fucking, the clubs were having sex.
Oh, that's
gross. They were giving $300 blowjobs. Imagine how much it was to fuck. You know what I'm saying? The door would open. She'd be peeking in, being like, what's going on in there?
Hey, can I come in?
Right. And so she said it didn't take her to figure out what was going on. She would see a dude back up in there just laid the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just laid out, chilling, whatever. And she'd be like, oh, okay. She was like, how the fuck can I get in on this shit?
How can I be down?
Yes. How can I get in on this? Because... At the fucking clubs, not only were they having to fucking, like, they were making what they were making from the fucking, the clients. Mm-hmm. But then they would have to tip out every single person in the fucking club. Yeah. The DJs, the bartenders, the hosts, the fucking house mother, the fucking, random ass fees that they would get charged.
I saw that, yeah.
At Scores, apparently, they don't have actual ATMs. They give them funny money, so it's like bills, Scores, dollars.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
And, yeah, so they're not actually giving them back any cash. You're buying Scores dollars. Mm-hmm. And you take home Scores dollars, you can't buy shit with that.
No.
So
I just exchanged $5,000 for Scores dollars. I got drunk. I only spent $2,000.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
Right. And then I'm getting tip Scores dollars now. Mm-hmm. And I have to go to the managers or the hosts or whoever is exchanging the Scores dollars. But now you're charging me a fee to exchange these Scores dollars that you're giving these dudes. So I'm giving you back 2,000 Scores dollars and you're taking 20% off of what I already earned.
Gross.
So, yeah, like, they might have been tipped out, like, by the dudes, $5,000. They would come home with, like, $1,000. That's just fucked up.
That is fucked up. I noticed that, like, in Hustlers. Like, it seemed like it was her first night. And, you know, oh, you want to keep dancing, right? You want
to Yeah, be they the, were like, it's a privilege VIP, to work here.
Right? You
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to suck my dick, right? Give me $20. What? This makes no sense.
Yeah. They, basically, it was like, she said, you had to pay the club for the privilege of working there. And everybody at the club is, you know, the people that aren't taking their clothes off, you have to pay them too. So,
give me a beat.
Right. So, Samantha learned how to work the fucking system because this was, again, after the 2008 fucking bullshit-ass crash that happened. Samantha was like, oh, y'all don't got no customers. I'm going to bring you some customers, but you're going to pay me for right. these customers.
Exactly.
So, she learned how to work the system, and she negotiated a fee. So, every, like, for whatever amount that these dudes spent, she would get a fee, a percentage of their spend. So, I don't know what that fee was. Nobody ever, like, said what the fee was.
I bet
was.
That bitch was getting, like, 80%, 75%, something like that.
The clubs were getting less than she was. That's, yeah, for sure.
Of course.
So, let's say she negotiated let's say it was 60-40. 60-40. So, if she would run up a dude's freaking bill,
$10,000.
A $10,000 fee, I mean a $10,000 fee. He's spending $10,000 at your club. Mm-hmm. You're gonna pay me my what was it?
$6,000.
Is it 6,000? Mm-hmm. Well, 60% of 6,000. I think
we said 10,000. So 60% will be 6,000.
Is it?
Yes. If it's $10,000.
Oh yeah. Okay. So and then the fucking club would get 40. But at one point they ran up a dude, his fucking bill. Over four visits, we'll get to him, was $135,000.
Oh, God, that hurts my soul. That's a lot of money. Listen, I think...
He's the one that caused their downfall.
Well, the funny thing is, like, I think if anyone grabbed any one of my credit cards and tried to even charge $500, they'd be so mad. They'd be like, this bitch doesn't have any money.
But they wouldn't be fucking with you. They're not fucking with you unless you act like... if you're one of those, like, what was that? If you act like you have $1 million in your bank account, mm-hmm. and you only have 10, then yeah, they're gonna be like, "What the fuck is this?"
That's why I bum it out, like, you know what I'm saying? Like in Hollywood, when I would walk to my car, I would put my purse in like a fucked up bag. I would have my sweater on with the holes in it, and I would just walk to my car. Cause I'm like, don't ask me for shit. I don't got shit. I don't look like I have shit. Bye. I would turn my ring around, just walk. People be checking for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how Samantha would get these dudes up in the club, she would be like, okay, I've got this list of numbers and like overworking. I don't know how long she had been working.
1,000 years.
But she was in her 30s.
Probably like
when they
years.
Met.
Probably 15 years.
So, she probably started, let's say she started at 18.
That's rough, dude. That's rough.
She was in her 30s. They don't name her age, but she was in her 30s. Let's say she'd been working for 20 years or so. She had accrued a bunch of numbers because dudes, for some reason, want to give strippers their fucking phone numbers. Mm-hmm. Well, she was going down the list of phone numbers that she called her get money list. And she would call a dude and be like, hey.
I'm going to play get money right now. Which one? Which money? Which get money song you want to hear?
Hey, what you doing? You want to hang out? Oh, you don't remember me? I'm so-and-so from Scores, or I'm so-and-so from Hustler, or I'm so-and-so from Lace. I'm so-and-so for blah, blah, blah. Because she had negotiated this fucking thing with multiple clubs.
I bet.
Yeah, she negotiated her percentage with multiple clubs. Even one in fucking Queens. So, the dude would be like, oh, I don't remember you. Or she might not have remembered the dude. But they'd be like, oh, okay, well, she would send him a picture, and it wouldn't usually be a picture of herself, because at that time, by that time, she had started having shit done to her face.
Oh, fuck.
And so she looked like a fucking plastic surgery nightmare.
She looked like Big Ange. Go ahead.
Yes, she resembled Big Ange in the face. Her lips were overblown, and...
Let me see if it's this one.
She's like, give me a beat. Oh, this is that New York song.
Okay. Yeah, I run New York.
I was thinking, get money.
I can play that one too in a minute.
Get money.
What you say, huh? Because I was thinking that one too, but this is a song that they played in the movie.
They did? Okay. Well, yeah, because they're in New York. Well, but Biggie's from New York too, so whatever.
And that was 50 Cent. He's from New York as well.
I know. But 50 Cent can suck my asshole.
He can. Oh, drop a shit and you can eat it.
Anyway.
Sorry.
She would go down her list and she would send a picture of herself. I mean, not of herself, of someone that in her crew. So she had a little crew,
yeah.
Right? There was this woman, her name was Karina Pascucci. And she actually kind of resembled Samantha a little bit.
Oh, really?
A younger Samantha.
Interesting.
And then there was Marcy Rosen, who had a pimp boyfriend who was doing time. So she would have one of those girls. She would send a picture of one of those girls, and they would meet him at a bar, wherever, you know, a designated place. Mm-hmm. She would get him a little bit liquored up, and then her friends would show up.
My sisters. Like, yeah, these are my sisters.
These are my sisters.
These are my coworkers.
Right. And so they would fucking fawn all over him, buy him more and more drinks, fawn all over him, flirt like crazy, and then be like, hey, let's go to a club.
Yeah, let's go to a club.
And if they got him to the club, they would run up his fucking credit card like nobody's fucking business, as high as they fucking could.
So were they just like run the card for as much as you can, or were they actually
like, they would go to the club and... like, yeah, no, they were buying bottles, but no, then they would be like, just run the card. Mm-hmm. And they would run the card. Let's say, you know, I don't know if they had a, like a designated, put 5,000 on it, put 10,000 on it, mm-hmm. whatever, but they would just run it up as high as they could. Because even if he was spending money, if he was buying bottles and buying drinks, she gets a percentage of that.
Right.
So they would probably just order drinks, whatever, dance. He would, they would just run it up. And then if it didn't work out that way, like if they would meet the guy, and then he'd be like, oh no, I'm too tired.
I don't drink.
Right. They would offer him drugs, like, oh, you're tired, here's some coke. And if he was like, nah, I'm not doing that. Then they went with the MDMA ketamine cocktail and put it in his drink and had him feeling good and then fucking had him passing out. So they could just take advantage.
Right.
And he wouldn't remember what happened.
Do you remember when Cardi B admitted to doing that shit mm-hmm. to people?
Yeah.
And people were like, how dare her? Mm-hmm. You know, blah, 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 blah.
Cardi B was like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I did that shit. I like Cardi B. She does not fucking, like, lie about shit. She don't try to make shit sound. She's like, yeah, I did that. Like, when she was on freaking Love and Hip Hop, when she was like, y'all bitches is stupid. Y'all fucking these dudes and y'all ain't getting paid. And, like, the dude, what was his name? Not Rich Dollars, that other fucking Peter Guns was like, who are you? Who are you? I was like, she got her a fucking Grammy. You know who she is now, asshole. Don't worry about my boobs. But my boobies. But I remember that. I was like, why is he being a dick? He was like, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? A couple of years later,
she's
a fucking Grammy award winning artist. So you can shut your ass.
You know me now, huh?
Because I don't know who the fuck you are. I can't even remember your name.
Didn't he have that song?
I don't know what he had. Name the song.
I think I had the CD of it when it was like him and Peter Guns and somebody else, and it was like some anthem song.
I don't know his name.
I don't know her.
They don't play his shit on the radio.
No, they don't.
So who cares? That's what I'm saying. He tried to shade the fuck out of her, and she showed all of their asses on Love and Hip Hop. Because she was a stripper.
Uptown Baby. Uptown Baby. Uptown Baby. We get down, baby. Goes down.
From the
baby.
90s?
Yes.
Who that cares? Was him. Who okay. cares?
But I'm telling you, that was the song. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uptown. Yeah. Uptown Baby. Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. From the 90s. And he ain't had fucking shit, another hit after that.
He's a one-hit wonder.
But he was trying to shade her.
Oh, because these people in the industry, they're like, we've been here for so long, but you haven't done fucking shit. Yeah, you've been here, and you made it to a moment, but you haven't done fucking shit. And your last album was, what, 30 years ago? Fuck that. Get that weak shit out of here.
Yeah, he was on Love & Hip Hop New York. The season that Cardi B was on there, and I think he was on there a couple more seasons.
I didn't watch it at all.
Cardi B, at the reunion, he was like, who are you? Who are you? And I was like, he's being a fucking asshole, number one. And then when she won, I was like, she fucking won! Peter Guns need to shut his mouth! Because I remember that shit, because she was up and coming. Like
she won some more wine?
She didn't have any freaking, she didn't have any credits. She was a stripper. But whatever. Anyway.
But I'm just saying, the drugging was happening.
It was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was happening during, probably before, probably after, whatever. They're the ones that got caught.
That's it's still probably happening now, because they said they've been doing this shit for a long fucking time.
Yeah. So, okay.
Copycats.
So, they were targeting dudes that had money. They were targeting wealthy men. They weren't targeting fucking, like, Joe Blow, who came up in the fucking club after working in the fucking welding shop. You know, for an hour, they were, like, looking at dudes that had
Rolexes,
watches, shoes, clothes, rings. Yes, they weren't looking at you, sir, that has your fucking busted-ass fingernails and your dirty hands. And they were looking at dudes that were polished, that looked like they spent money on haircuts.
That had the wealth to not to spend it, and if they spent it, not to bitch about it, and if they didn't have it, not to cry about
right.
it, pretty much. Or if they lost it.
They called it the dudes that had money and everything to lose or something like that. So she was like, what's an extra $20,000 to them? They weren't exactly upstanding citizens, and it wasn't like we pulled them off the street. They had history, because most of the dudes had been to the club before.
Yeah.
Like, when they first started out, they were calling the dudes that already had been in the club and spent thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. They weren't fucking just going, you know, hey, mister, hey, guy, hey, you want to go to a club? No, they weren't doing that. They were like, I know you. I'm calling you. Gave me your number.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
I know you.
So they've been to Hustlers. They've been to Rick's. They've been to Scores. They all walked in ready to party. She said, and yeah, we slipped an extra one that they didn't know about. But it all goes hand in hand. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know? So they, of course, the MDMA, which is Molly, made them, you know, all happy and shit. And then the fucking ketamine fucked with their memory, so they couldn't remember the fucking shit that happened.
Why is ketamine even a thing? Like, why do we have this drug?
Ketamine is an animal tranquilizer.
Okay. I understand now.
They call it Special K on the street.
They do call it, you're right, so the tigers don't remember when you fucked them up, right? This bitch, she zapped me.
So, they would black out from the ketamine. And then, later when they got their bill or their statement, they'd be like, what the fuck? And they would call her back and be like, they would call Samantha, because Samantha was the one that contacted them, be like, what the fuck?
Dude, you spent the money, I don't know.
And she'd be like, but you were so happy, don't you remember? You were tipping everybody. And so they were like, think about it and be like, well, fuck, I can't tell my wife I did this fucking shit.
Right, right.
If I go to the cops, I look fucking stupid. If I have to file a formal complaint, I have to go to the cops and I look stupid. So they just didn't say shit.
Yeah.
It worked, you know, for a while. And then Rosie had a mind for business. So she ran it that way. She ran it like a business. Because before she got involved, they would just do it. Like, they would just run a card and then, like, forget about it. Like, forget about whoever it was that was the guy, unless, like, I don't know what their fucking bookkeeping system was, but they probably didn't have one.
Okay.
Rosie gets involved, and she's like, we're writing down names, we're writing down fucking identification information, we're writing down how much we spent on their card, like, because, you know, at a certain point, if you're doing it right, you can get them to come back. Like, you can call them back, and they'll respond.
Right.
So, you know, she was making sure that she had everything in fucking in a row. All the ducks were in a row. And she even fucking, like, got them. She introduced them to another strip club owner who had manager of the club that was in Queens called the Roadhouse. And that was a place where they could run cards if they weren't at the club. Like, if they weren't at Scores or fucking Hustler or wherever they were. So, she even had a better scheme for phishing, because that's what they were doing. They were phishing when they weren't calling they were phishing on their list. They were phishing, too. But occasionally, they would go to a place and look for dudes that looked like they had money. Mm. So, the girls, Samantha, what's her name?
Oh, her crew.
Samantha, Karina, and that other one.
Martina.
Marcy. They would go. And they would go to, like, TGI Fridays in the financial district. But Rosie was like, no, you know, that's where moms and dads go.
TGI Fridays. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So she would go to, like, high-end restaurants, places where dudes that had money would go, like, you know, maybe a day after work or with the guys. Maybe they going to celebrate a big fucking
sale.
Yeah, or whatever. A win on Wall Street. They would go somewhere that, you know, where dudes had where they could spend money. Mm-hmm. So she would go to a bar that was where the rich dudes hung out, and she said she could pull it off because she didn't look like a stripper. She didn't dress like a stripper. She looked like a woman that was, you know, coming in to have a glass of wine at the end of a hard day of work. Like, she, you know, she dressed like a businesswoman.
She looked nice.
Right. She, you know. But, yeah, she didn't look like the type of chick that would be a stripper. She would go in. And then she would eyeball them, look at their watch, look at their shoes, look at their clothes, look at their whatevers.
Their bagalias.
And and she would buy a group of dudes a shot, a round of shots, and wait for one of them to come over. And when one of them came over, then, you know, they would all make their way over eventually. Mm-hmm. And then she would, you know, start talking to them. And then, like, somehow the conversation would end up where she's like, I know, let's go to a strip club. And they're all like, yeah. So
woo!
That's how they would get the guys that they had fished. That's how they would get them to the club.
Okay.
And it worked. It worked. She said that they, like, a pattern, after they had started doing this for a while, a pattern would start to emerge and the guys would always end up wanting to have sex. Oh. They wanted to have sex. So the girls, like, none of them four, Marcy, Karina, Samantha, or Rosie, were trying to have sex with any of these dudes because that's not their thing.
Right.
Like, they were like, nah, we're not doing that. So they started to try to bring in the strippers that were already doing $300 blowjobs. They were trying to get them in on it. And they were like, hey, you know, we're bringing these guys into the club. They want to fuck. Why don't you guys go ahead and, you know, you take over that, we'll pay you. And the girls were like, eh, man, like, they weren't very enthusiastic about it, whatever.
Who would be?
Well, you're already blowing these dudes. They're giving you $300. I'll give you $6. Why don't you go fuck them? I don't know if that's what they said. But I'm just saying, if it comes down to the guys, like, you know how they get aggressive and shit. And like, come on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm paying you.
Yeah.
It's like, and you're like, God damn it, get the fuck off of me, right? So then, okay, well, I'll get somebody in here who'll bone you, whatever. I don't know how they worded the situation.
Yeah.
But they were like, hey, you guys are already doing blow jobs for $300, you know, how about you want to make a little more money? We'll pay you. You
can write that dick for $6.
Whatever. The bitches were like, bleh, bleh, bleh.
Give me 100 more.
Yeah, they were trying to negotiate. I don't know. But yeah, they were less than enthusiastic about it. And Rosie was like, fuck these bitches. So they turned to some actual prostitutes.
Ooh.
They turned to Backpage and Craigslist.
Okay.
The women that were advertising on those places. And they're like, hey, guys, we've got a proposition for you.
Yeah.
You guys do this, 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 and this. We'll show you how to do this. And you guys will charge their cards. And if you want to bang them, go ahead. But don't do shit until after they've already signed.
Right.
So they hired these prostitute women. Bought them, you know, new clothes, took them on shopping sprees, bought them new clothes, new makeup, showed them the rules. They showed them how to take fake shots. They showed them how to do fake blow or do blow fakely. Basically blow the fucking shit off your hand or wherever it was being distributed from. And they're like, okay, you know, no partying until you get a signature. So that's what they did. They were like, okay, cool. And they managed to make that work out.
Did I tell you about the time where I was at a club in San Francisco and I did pass out, but I woke up and there was like all this coke in front of me? Did I tell you this?
No.
All right, random story. I was at one of my favorite bars in San Francisco in the Financial District, Fluid, where I had my birthday at.
It was that same place?
Okay. Yeah.
Where Derek Jeter wouldn't fucking take a picture with
him? Me and my ex-friend, we were there, and then like we were like leaving the club and these guys were like, hey, do you guys want to party?
You know party means coke.
Yeah, after party, you guys want to come? And they're in the limo. And we're like, okay, why not? Our friend owns the bar around the corner or some shit. So we rode in the limo with them. And the night was already over, so I was already lit. We get into this spot or whatever, and there's quite a few people there. We sit down at a table, and I fell asleep. I passed out. I woke up, and motherfuckers was doing coke at the table that I was, like, sleeping at. And it's just like, I looked over at my friend. I was like, we need to get out of here.
We need to go now.
Somebody. I was like, we need to go. Let's
do
go.
You see this? We need to go now. We need
to go. And I think someone was like, oh, hey, do you want some? I was like, no, I'm cool. We got to go.
We need to go.
We got to go.
Now.
And we left. But shit happens.
Dude. I'd have been like, did you guys drunk?
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, I'm okay. I haven't been violated. I'm all right. Okay.
That's crazy.
It's
just drugs in front of you.
Maybe
like,
that should happen. Maybe that's why I passed out. I don't know.
That's crazy.
I probably almost died a couple times living up there, but I'm here now, so it's all good.
How did I survive that?
One time I woke up the next morning, my car was like parked in the street. And I was just like, you idiot. You shouldn't have even driven.
Wait, you parked your car in the street?
It wasn't on the side. It wasn't
on the curb.
It was like 3 feet off of the curb.
You're lucky you didn't get a ticket or tow. You're lucky that Popo wasn't like, who the fuck, what the fuck, what and the like fuck? Towed that shit.
It was Oakland, so, you know.
Oh, my God. All right. So, yeah, they hired prostitutes, and they were like, get the fucking signature, then you can party, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were doing this, though, what I think is hilarious is that Rosie would be on the phone with American Express doing the verification process. Like, because, you know, with certain cards, if you're trying to charge a certain amount of money, you got to call them.
Oh, yeah, they ain't going to let that shit happen.
Right. So she would be on the phone with American Express. And they'd be doing the verification. What's your mother's maiden name? And she'd be like, hey, what's your mother's maiden name? And he would tell her. And then she'd be like, what's the last part of your social? She'd be like, what's your social? And like, so these dudes are so fucking out of it that they were giving her all their verification information while she's on the phone with American Express. No fucking like issue, whatever. I think that's hilarious. Oh, and there would, of course, be a girl like, you know, on his lap or whatever doing their thing. So, in the fall of 2013, because they've been doing this for a while now, she met up with Samantha back in 2011, so it's been at least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They had to switch up their fucking game because some bitches got wind of what they were doing, and they started bringing dudes up in the club, too.
Mm-hmm.
they didn't know like their whole operation, thing, but they noticed the business model.
Copycats.
And that's what they were copycats. So, they started bringing dudes up in the club, and Rosie and Samantha had to start taking guys other places. Because a lot of the dudes, they wanted to hang out with the strippers, but they didn't want to always go to the club.
Right.
So they would, like, get a nice hotel, mm-hmm. and they would go there, or maybe they go back to the guy's house, if he wasn't married.
Okay. Kiki Palmer with that bathing suit on.
Right. And that was, did you notice that was one of Ramona's bathing
yes,
suits?
Yes, I did notice it was one of Ramona's bathing suits.
Well, she actually did. She wanted to start a bathing suit line. Samantha did. So they started doing that. And they also realized, she said this, like, she started realizing things were getting out of hand when, back around this time, when apparently Samantha was shopping. Like, she was on an iPad in the car and she was shopping on the Gucci website. And she was like, I think I'm just going to get these shoes tonight. And Rosie was like, how much money are we going to make tonight? And Samantha was just like, you know, into her shopping. They started getting greedy. And their employees, quote unquote, were unreliable. The prostitutes would be fucking unreliable. Either they wouldn't show up or they would have fucking addiction problems. They would show up all fucked up.
Like old girl with the eye from Handmaid's Tale. That's a redhead.
Was that her?
That's her.
Oh my God.
The one who took her baby. Got her eye scooped out.
I didn't notice that was her. Mm-hmm. But, like, the girls would be fucking, yeah, they'd be blitzed. They would show up all fucked up. Or they would be in the hospital because they got beat up.
That's fucked up.
Or, you know, they, whatever. And then fucking Marcy and Karina would just, like, disappear for weeks because they, you know, they weren't feeling it or they would get grossed out. So Samantha started looking for new girls. And, Rosie was like, why are you fucking with the formula? Like, don't fuck with the formula. We don't know these bitches.
Yeah.
You want to fucking... And then, you know, in the movie, she said she had a soft spot for bitches, strippers with problems. And that was the case, apparently. One of the bitches was a bitch with problems, or the stripper with problems, who would later get them fucked up.
One of the bitches.
But, yeah, no, they got greedy, too. So, like, Samantha ended up burning bridges by maxing out fucking credit cards. These dudes' fucking credit cards. They had one client that Rosie was like, we need to fucking, like, play this guy long term. We need to, you know, not fucking fuck up his shit.
Right.
And then Samantha found out that he had a $50,000 credit limit and was like, oh, well, I'll just take the whole $50,000.
Jeez Louise.
And so he was like, fuck you bitches, and never fucking returned their texts, you know, once they started texting him or whatever. He never returned their text, so they lost him as a customer. They started losing other dudes as customers because they kept running up their fucking shit instead of playing them long-term. And so they also would use, like, maxing out their credit cards as punishment. Like, if a dude did something or said something that would piss them off, they would just be like, fuck it, I'm taking all your money. I'm zeroing your balance.
These some bad bitches.
Yeah. And she said it was, like, it was partially the stress. Because, you know, they were under all this stress, apparently. I don't know. The stress. And...
so stressed out.
Mm-hmm. They were stressed. And the guys would just, like, piss them off, whatever. So then they started to have to go fishing for strangers. New dudes that they didn't fucking know. They hadn't met them in the clubs. They were, like, you know, basically going to fucking bars picking up dudes.
Yeah, you don't know what you're gonna get.
That was like that scene, the swimming pool scene. She said one of the dudes was so fucked up, he hit his head in his fucking swimming pool. They did have to take him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And she was like almost late to take, Rosie was almost late to take her daughter to school at that time.
Yeah, I saw that scene.
Mm-hmm. But that actually happened. I don't know if Kiki Palmer's character ran away with her arms like this. Did you see how she was running?
She was like,
she ran away like this. I was like, nobody runs like that.
She was being extra.
Her arms were up in 90
she
degree
was
angles.
Being extra.
Like
extra.
This.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, she was running like this.
So, Rosie kept trying to talk herself into quitting. So, she'd be like, I want to have $100,000 in the bank and then I'll quit. And then it would be like, I want $250,000 in the bank, and then I'll quit. And then $500,000 in the bank, and then I'll quit. I want $500,000 in the bank, then I'll quit. I want $1 million in my bank, then I'll quit. It was never enough. Like, yeah. She would get that amount, but then she kept going.
Yeah.
She never, like, she could have quit at any time.
Yeah.
But she just didn't. And they started doing fucking reckless ass shit. They even built one guy out of his, basically all he had was $17,000. Like, he wasn't a wealthy guy. He had $17,000 on his debit card. They fucking took it off his debit card and a credit card that he had that turned out to be a corporate card.
Yeah.
So he actually didn't even have 17 grand in his bank account. It was partially on a fucking corporate miles card, and then the rest was in his debit account.
He was like, that was my mortgage, bitch. I need that shit back.
That was the one he was like crying. He was like, that's my mortgage. Please give it back. Please give me my money back. And like Samantha, that actually really happened was Rosie started feeling bad, and Samantha was like, well, if we don't do it, somebody else will. Mm-hmm. And so it all went bust when, you know, one of their fucking girls fucking opened her mouth. So one of the girls got a call from a guy that she had, you know,
Mickey'd.
And he had asked her what happened. He was like, please, all I want to know is just what happened. And she was like, well, you know, we drugged you and took your money, basically. That's, you know, I didn't hear the conversation, but that's basically what happened. And he went to the police.
Mm-hmm. But when he first called the police, they hung up. They're like, get out of here with that.
Well, yeah. And he was like, I have proof.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the guy hung up on him or was like, you're a fucking liar. Apparently the cops, they get these calls all the time. Like all the time. They get calls from dudes talking about they got drugged at a fucking strip club. And they're like, fuck you, you're lying, click. Because you want to say you got drugged, but you went up in there and spilled all your money, and your wife's pissed off at you,
yeah.
So you're going to say you were drugged. And you're going to call us and fucking try to be, you know, fucking, in, or you're going to try to make, be a victim when you made the decision. So the cops are so fucking, like, they don't take those calls seriously at all. But he was like, I have proof. And that's when the cop was like, oh, shit, okay. So they sent the fucking DEA to his house. And he played the fucking record, or the record, the tape for them.
Put the needle on the record.
He played the tape for them. And they were like, okay.
Looks like you do have some evidence now, don't you, Paul?
So the cop was like, it was very weird. If it wasn't for the tape, I would have been like, dude, I think you're fucking bullshit.
Right.
That's what the cop said. So then they go pick up the girl who fucking was on the tape, and she fucking sang like a canary because she had already had a fucking rap sheet, and she, you know, I'll do whatever you say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Sure.
Right.
Wear a wire? Sure.
Mm-hmm. So they fucking set up a fucking sting. And they go to a hotel, and she calls the girls, Samantha and Rosie, and she's like, hey, I need you guys' help. I need the drugs.
Did you bring the drugs?
Yeah, I need the drugs. I need your help. The guy is, you know, he's acting flighty or whatever. I don't know what she said. But, like, as soon as she opens the door, she's like, you guys got the drugs? You got the drugs? Drugs, 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 drugs.
What kind of drugs did you bring?
Drugs, give me the drugs, give me the drugs, give me the drugs, give me the drugs. And they're like, bitch, calm down. Like, what the fuck is going on? So Rosie was like, uh-uh.
You acting real funny.
Yeah.
You acting real funny.
Rosie was like, this shit is fucking shady.
It's fishy.
So finally, because they're like, and so fucking the girl's like, give it to me. And she takes the fucking drugs and puts it in his drink. They get a knock on the door from hotel security. Somebody claiming to be hotel security, these two dudes. And they're like, we're going to have to search your belongings. And so they search them, but they don't do a thorough search. Because apparently Samantha had a bottle of Midol in her purse that they didn't look into. Because, mm-hmm. You know, it's Midol. That's ladies' stuff.
I don't want to touch that.
So they didn't.
It's going to make me have my period.
And they didn't get caught. So on the way home, that's like the scene where she's like, they're following us. Somebody's following us. I've seen this car. Well, Samantha's like, oh, you're going crazy. You're freaking out. She's like, you know, she was telling her she's paranoid, blah, blah, blah. And they continue about their business.
Right.
Even though Rosie's like, something is not right. Mm-hmm. Well, later on, a couple of weeks later, I'm guessing, the fucking New York Post runs a story about a doctor, a cardiologist in New York, who refuses to pay a $135,000 scores bill that he had run up over the course of 4 visits. And he's like, I was drugged. I didn't fucking make these charges. I was drugged. And in the article, the scores manager's like, well, shit, if he was drugged, he liked it because it came back.
Right?
And
he must have liked it.
Right. The cops are like, oh, this sounds familiar. And one of the cops is like, ah, he's full of shit. The other guy's like, no, it's not. This is their MO. Like, we've heard this already before.
Right.
And they, you know. So, apparently Samantha was like, good, maybe he'll pay his fucking bill. Like, you know, now that because they trashed his name. The fucking papers, like, all the notoriety that he was getting. They were like, you're fucking stupid. He became a laughingstock. Because, oh, you went to the club and spent this money and now you don't want to pay. But he was like, no, I was drugged.
Listen, Linda.
You're not understanding me. Even though he went back 4
Check
fucking times.
Check my urine.
Check my urine. Check my urine. And the part, like, it was Karina, one of the girls who got him all fucked up. He thought he was dating her. That's what sucks about it. He thought they were dating.
That's why he kept going back.
So, now, like, the cops, like, started getting paranoid, too, because they would frequent, you know, places of, I don't know, whatever you call it. I won't say ill repute, but they would go to strip clubs. Like, you know, cops, they need to blow off steam. They go to strip clubs, too. They don't have the money that these women are looking for, so they're not trying to drug you, sir.
Right.
Officer Tillman,
well,
or whatever your name is.
The police.
But the cops were like, oh, shit, we go there, you know. They could get us on camera and be like, where was your gun? Where was your badge? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they were like, oh, my God. So they started getting worried about it, too. So they managed to build a case, apparently. And on June 9th, 2014, the cops cornered Samantha at an ATM in her neighborhood. And they were like, this is according to Samantha. They were like, get in the car, you're under arrest. And the neighbors were staring, and I'm like having a panic attack. And then they arrested Karina, and then they arrested Marcy, and then they arrested Rosie last. So they were looking at all of them 3 years in jail, in prison.
Wah, wah, wah.
Karina and Marcy pleaded guilty to conspiracy, assault, and grand larceny. Samantha pleaded to, conspiracy, assault, and grand larceny as well. And Rosalind was charged with credit card theft. And Samantha and Rosalind got 5 years probation. The other two spent a weekend in jail.
What makes it grand larceny when it's over how much?
I think it's like over $1,000.
It's a grand larceny.
I think it's the charges were, they tricked 4 men into basically spending $200,000. That was the grand total was $200,000.
Which I'm sure they got away with way more than that.
And they let them keep the money. They didn't have to pay restitution. They went on probation.
Yeah, 5 years of probation for stealing a bunch of fucking dudes' money.
Because the other dude, they couldn't get any other men to fucking testify because a man does not want to admit to being violated, victimized by a woman.
Right.
So they could have had hundreds probably of men testifying, but four dudes. The guy in the fucking newspaper and then the other three dudes. Yeah. That was it.
That was it.
Four dudes. So $200,000 from four guys.
Between 4 people.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, well.
Since then, both Rosalind and Samantha have written books because they said the movie didn't, you know, it wasn't a bio movie. It wasn't a biopic. Like, it wasn't a biographical movie. It was a fictionalized account of what actually happened.
Right.
And they were like, well, I didn't tell the truth. So we both, you know, like, each one of them wrote a book. Samantha Barbash's book is called, her book is called Underscore. And Rosalind Keough's book, Rosalind, is called, it's called The Climax.
Okay. Who is The Climax?
Rosalind. Rosie's book is The Climax, the Constance Wu character.
Girl, bye.
And Underscore is what Samantha Barbash's book is.
What have we learned here?
They wanted, because they said the movie didn't depict, like, well, okay, so Samantha, she was like, you know, they depicted me, I didn't like the way they depicted me, you know, they depicted me as a bad mom because they cooked drugs in the house with the kid in the house, and she has a son who is an adult now, and what's her name? Rosie's daughter is about 12 or 13 now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they watched the movie and whatever. I don't know.
Y'all know it's fictionalized. Get the fuck over it, okay? There's a lot of freedoms and liberties taken with movies.
Uh-huh. And Samantha was mad because she said, you know, they wanted her to work on the movie, but they didn't want to pay her. And they were trying to get her to sign over the rights to her life. But they didn't want to pay her, so she wrote a book. And Rosie was like, you know, the movie's based on my life, but it's not the whole story. And it's not the whole story because, again, it's a fictionalized account of this article. Mm-hmm. It's not even, like, of your life, because your life, it doesn't start out with you being a kid and, like,
no.
You know, and after what happened, it just starts out with you being a stripper and getting caught. That's it.
Right, right.
And the interview, because the interview goes on over the course of the case. It's not afterwards.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anyone noticed it. If any of you guys did watch the movie Hustlers, Julia Stiles plays the writer of the article. Mm-hmm. When she first starts out, she's not pregnant. At the end, when Constance Wu or Dorothy or whatever you want to call Destiny was talking to her, she was, like, at her baby shower. She was big and pregnant, so...
Oh, well, she had...
Yeah,
I didn't notice
so,
that.
It has subtle ways of showing you that it's over a period of time. Mm-hmm. The outfits change and, you know, whatever. That was it.
Yeah. So, that is the story of the Hustlers at Scores.
And it's on Showtime right now, so if you have Showtime or you don't, sign up for a free trial and watch it. It's a good shit.
It's a good shit.
It's a good shit. All right, that was cool. So, Brandy, do you have a thumbs up for the week?
Oh, you when you had asked me how my week was going, I forgot. It was the first fucking day of school this week.
Oh, gosh.
Last week.
Yes. Woo, honey.
The first week. It was the first week of school, the first half week or whatever. And there was just too many fucking technical difficulties. So, this, let's see, my thumbs up is hopefully that this week for school goes a little bit smoother, and I get to start working with clients and, like, get some fucking, like, regular income coming in, because I need money to pay bills and buy fucking stuff. So, what's your thumbs up?
I will be starting work this week, and it's cool to get back into the workplace. I'm excited that this is a startup and I get work from home. And we're just going to see how it goes. But as you said, last week was the first week of school, and we did have some issues. So hopefully, you know, those are ironed out this week, and it's a smoother week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but other than that, we love you guys, and thank you guys for listening. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Thanks so much. No, Korra, The Legend of Korra is on Netflix. And I love that shit. It's the second installment, or it's like the continuation of the Avatar series.
It's a second series.
It's the Korra is the Avatar after Avatar Aang, because he can only live for a certain amount of time. Once the Avatar dies...
Is she the next Avatar, or was there an Avatar between them?
She's the next Avatar.
Okay.
She's the next Avatar. After the Avatar dies, reincarnated into another tribe, into another nation or whatever. So
okay, I thought like maybe some mm-hmm. time, like some avatars had
80. Nope,
happened
it's
between
80 years in the future. Okay. So it's really good. I love the series. I'm happy it's on Netflix.
What, like 10 or something? 12, 12 maybe. Okay.
And it's good. I love the series. I'm glad it's on. When it first came out, like I was waiting for this series. And I love the way, I want to say DiMatteo and the other guy's name, I can't think of their names, Michael and whatever, the creators of the series. They do such a good job. And apparently they were working on a live action film. I got this stuff from, I got the tea off of, from Geek Freaks.
Is that a podcast?
Yeah, Geek Freaks podcast. And like, I love them and they give us so much support and we love you dudes too. But they were saying that the, they were in the works for a live-action Avatar series or whatever.
And not, like, yeah, M. Night's like, not being not fucking, he's not involved at all, right?
Just them. Great. The real creators with
wonderful.
Netflix. But the creators are like, Netflix, you're not giving us enough control. Like, you said that we were going to have freedom to create what we wanted to create. And apparently Netflix is, like, trying to stifle their fire. And they're like, fuck this, we're out. I'm like, no!
They can do it as an indie, but then they won't have the budget. That's nope. The only thing.
Nope. So they apparently stepped away from the project, and I think they're going to leave it in the hands of some other fuck faces, and I'm not looking for it.
Yeah, no. If it's your vision, please do it, because you can't trust another person to be true to your vision.
Nope.
At all. And, like, then you'd be pissed because you're like, fuck, this is not what I wanted to fucking...
It'll be another M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Yeah. Like, that's the one thing. It's like, dude... They have a whole nother script going on mm-hmm. and a whole nother fucking, like, direction.
Yep.
And it's like, you guys fucked up my shit. Oh, did you watch, you've been watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, right?
Yes, I have.
So you saw the episode where Garcelle meets with those fucking writers.
Yes. And she's looking at them sideways. She's like, that's not anything that I thought about. Like, she was like, where's
she had her? Yeah, she had her script and they were supposed to, like, expand on her script. Mm-hmm. And they fucking basically went in a completely different direction. And she was like, this is not what I wanted.
Yeah, because she got together with a writer-director rather than just like a regular director. And she was like, well, I want to... It didn't work. But here it is. Brian Konietzko and Michael DiMartino announced that they're leaving the Netflix live-action adaptation of Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Well, okay.
So that sucks.
Way to ruin things, guys.
Yeah, but...
Netflix, you guys need to stop. You're already making money hand over fist. Fucking stop.
They're actually bleeding money because...
Are they?
They do all these different projects. They do all these different series. They need to keep filling the tunnel of content.
I feel like Hulu is the place to go with that. Because Hulu mm-hmm. has fucking... they have the Into the Dark series, and that's only fucking Blumhouse. Blumhouse is like, this is our shit. Don't fuck with it. Mm-hmm. They put out every single... their movies... They put out every single movie every month, mm-hmm. and it's Blumhouse. It's not some other asshole. It's not, like, a different production company every movie. It's all Blumhouse.
That's cool.
I think they maybe want to get in on the Hulu side because, and just like, what's that other one? The Stephen King one? Castle Rock? Mm-hmm. That's not, like, it's not different production companies coming in fucking shit up, or it's not, you know, it's one production company, yeah. and they're not fucking with other shit, yeah. and they're not bringing in strangers and randos and doing
get these
stuff.
Randos out of here, they're fucking shit
it's
up.
One company, and it might be a different director, but it's the same production company, so you know it's gonna have at least the same quality,
yeah.
and not be, well, this one was awesome, and this, I mean, granted, some of them do suck, like, there was one that I was like, I can't even watch this.
They all can't be winners, but yeah. I hear exactly what you're saying, and I hope, like, you know, there's a resolution, and I hope we actually get this live-action Avatar The Last Airbender the way it's supposed to be created in the creator's eyes, but, Geek Freaks, they're dope, check out that podcast, I love them. That's all we have for you guys. So thank you for listening. Make sure you go ahead and subscribe and come back or go back and check out some of our previous episodes. Okay. We've got 80 episodes. This is episode 81. We've got 80 episodes.
Oh my God,
episodes.
We're almost coming up on our 100th episode.
Dude, we should do it big.
I'll get an air horn so we don't have to do all that.
Okay. And I will actually go and buy us some microphones. Go ahead and get in that champagne room and help us upgrade our sound system, okay? We want to bring you quality. And quantity as well.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys for listening. Go ahead and connect with us on social, Twitter, Book of Lies Pod, Instagram, Facebook, Book of Lies Podcast, or just go ahead and visit our website at bookofliespodcast.com. You can catch us there. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. And I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Flicks.
And this was
Book of Lies.
The podcast.